Brief commercial interruption. Take out your bulletin insert. You can see on there the estimate of giving. Some of you have already turned this in. If you haven't, there are three ways you can do it. There are cards in the pew. You got mailed cards. You can turn them in the offering plate. You can mail them in. You can bring them in. You can go online and fill out your estimate of giving for next year online. Or you can text 34444. And the message would be join West End UMC estimate. And it will send you a text back. You just hit that link. In short time, you can estimate your giving. It's very important if we're going to let our light shine in 2017. This coming Tuesday, you're going to be getting a series of emails, and we are going to be on Facebook Live at various times. You'll get an email about that to talk about the things that would not happen here, the way that Christ's light would not shine without your generosity. So, be awaiting that. I've been fortunate in that there have been a lot of people in my life who reflected the loving light of Christ. My mom, not just because she watched me from the window, but in every other way. But among those are two prominent folks, both of whom I've mentioned, and both of whom, interestingly enough, are Southern Baptists. The first one I want to talk about is Will Campbell. Now, Will dropped that Southern part, even though he was Southern all of his life. He was just a freelance Baptist. Some would say a freelance troublemaker. But Will was very active in the civil rights movement in the 50s and 60s. He lost his position as the campus minister at the University of Mississippi because of his involvement in that movement. It brought him to Nashville, where he was very involved with racial issues and racial harmony and working for justice here. But Will also began to befriend people in the Ku Klux Klan because he said, you know, they're children of God too. And the Klan's folk were baffled that he worked for civil rights, and the civil rights folks were baffled that he associated with the Klan. But you see, he didn't take his marching orders from any politician or any political party. He took his marching orders from Jesus, which made him a little quirky. At least that's the excuse he gave, because he was plenty quirky. The other person I want to mention, the other Southern Baptist, is Clarence Jordan. Clarence Jordan had a doctorate in Greek. He also, in the 1940s, developed a little experiment that came to be called Koinonia Farms in Americus, Georgia. It was an experiment in interracial living in Georgia in the 1940s. He was not the most popular man in Georgia. He was firebombed. He was arrested. They were threatened. They were called terrible names. And then out of that, he began to translate and then paraphrase the Gospels and the Epistles in what he called cotton patch versions. He worked from the Greek texts, but when he saw characters in the Scripture, he chose characters from Georgia, from his place. When he saw places in the Scripture, he chose towns in Georgia. For example, Jesus is born in Gainesville. Jesus grows up in Valdosta. The lynching, crucifixion, takes place at the Believe in the Bible conference in Atlanta. He was not a popular guy, even among his own family. Yet, he never broke with the hope that we could have a larger view of who gets included in God's family. Now, not only were those sources of Jesus' light to me, but they were that because they did exactly what Jesus said in the text today. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. In his time, a vine is not what we think of as a vine. It was more like a stump coming out of the ground. And the branches were these tiny little tendrils coming out, and if they got detached from that vine, they withered and they died in the heat of the Middle East. So this was a vivid image that Jesus is using about staying connected to Him. And what does it mean to be connected to Him? Well, first of all, He says, if you stay connected to me, You are my friends. Not servants. This was pretty radical. Jesus did not call his disciples servants, even though in that day and time, that's what was expected. He said, you're my friends. And this is what I command. He doesn't say, this is what I suggest. He says, this is what I command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus gives three commands in the Gospels. Two he borrows from the Hebrew Bible. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And frankly, I think a lot of people who do hateful things do so because they don't feel loved. They don't really believe somehow that they are loved. Nobody stood up in front of them and in beautiful angelic voices ever saying, Jesus loves me, or if they did, they didn't hear that. Love your neighbor as yourself and love one another as I have loved you. And the big question has been, okay, who's one another? I mentioned some time ago that, you know, we in the South have a second person plural. It's y'all. It's very functional. But sometimes when we say y'all, we only mean y'all that look like me. Y'all that speak English. Y'all that come from a certain country. Y'all. But for Jesus, I'm convinced it meant all y'all. Everybody, without exception. Those who had lived, those who live now, those who will live. This has been a week of transition. The text started coming before all the results were in, at least to me. People asking, okay, what do we do now? And my answer was fairly simple. We do what we've been doing. We simply make the witness that we have been making. Because you see, as Christians, we don't take our marching orders from Donald Trump. And we don't take our marching orders from Barack Obama. And if the Electoral College had agreed with the popular vote, we would not take our orders from Hillary Clinton. We got our marching orders a long time ago from a brown-skinned Middle Eastern Jewish teacher named Jesus. Now, other folks will try to convince you that we need to put our loyalty somewhere else. But our loyalty is not with any political party. It is not with any political figure. Our loyalty and our calling comes from one person. And that one person transcends all of these changing things that happen through our lives. So we keep making the witness that we have been making. The same acts that were terrible the day before the election are still terrible after the election. The same kind of racial epithets that were awful before the election are still awful after the election. What we do as Christians is we follow the life, the teachings, and the example of Jesus. That's why he calls us his friends. He said, I call you friends because I've shared everything I know with you. What he shared was his life, his teachings, and his example. And if you look at that example, then we stand with people of color because Jesus was a person of color. We stand with refugees because Jesus was a refugee, a part of a family that had to leave their country because their lives were endangered. It's not because it's cool. It's not because it's liberal or conservative. It's because it's about Jesus. It is part of his life, his teaching, and his example. If we're going to be his friends. We stand with those people who, like me, grew up in trailers or tenements or shacks whose parents had blue-collar jobs but at least had jobs, who feel like they have gotten lost over the past 50 years and the opportunities that I have and had as a youngster are not available to them anymore. We stand with them too because Jesus stood with the poor and those who were pushed to the margins. That's not a political thing. It's a Jesus thing. We stand with those whom our church proclaims to be sinners because guess what? That's who Jesus chose to associate with because there weren't any other options. We're all sinners. We stand with those who have been called ugly names. We stand with those who continue to be bullied in school because they speak a different language or their skin color is different from ours. We stand with those who are bullied on the streets of towns here in Middle Tennessee because they are gay, lesbian, transgender. We stand with those who are bullied for any reason because if you notice, Jesus, though he spoke truth to power, was never a bully and faced the bullies down with the gospel. Another thing we do is that we do tell gospel truth to those in power. Will Campbell did that. Clarence Jordan did that. Lots of people have done that through the years. In the first service, we had a baptism of an infant. And in that service and every service, I ask, will you reject evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And the answer is, we do. Evil, injustice, and oppression, even in the church. There is no us and them in this. It's only us. We are all a part of this. We are all part of loving one another. About 3 weeks ago, we had a swastika carved on our door that leads to the hallway that goes to the chapel. Now, it could have been somebody who'd had a little too much to drink. But why a swastika? Why that particular image? Before, people who were vandalizing just kind of threw a rock through the window. It's still there if you want to see it. I think it's a badge of honor because we stand with those that the people who wore swastikas hated. A couple of weeks ago, we had the Westboro Baptist Church right across the street here protesting. Now, frankly, I think they were probably protesting Vanderbilt, but it could just as well have been us, because the students from Vanderbilt and other schools, high schools as well, stood in front of our doors and our flags that stated our bedrock belief that God loves everyone unconditionally. I think that's a badge of honor. That was our witness. And now those banners are down in part because one's missing, one's been vandalized, one was taken, knocked down, and the other's taken inside. But that does not mean that our witness has changed or our bedrock beliefs have changed. If we are going to be the loving light of Christ, if we are going to be that branch that comes off of the vine that is Jesus, then we continue to make our witness and stand with those who are being hurt, those who are being bullied, those who are being told that they don't belong, and we stand with them. It may be even more important for us to do that now. And it doesn't matter who you voted for. That is our calling as a Christian, not as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. There's one option we don't have, however, and that's the option of hating people who hate us. It doesn't work that way. We can stand up to them, but we can't hate them. There's an old Middle Eastern proverb says, if you have to become the beast to defeat the beast, then the beast has won. And don't get me wrong, the beast is not a person. The beast is that fear and hatred that drives us to hurt other people just because they're different. That's the beast. Jesus phrased it a different way. He said, you don't overcome evil with evil, you overcome evil with good. Paraphrasing that, Dr. Martin Luther King said, hate will never drive out hate. Only love can drive out hate. Folks, we have the most powerful thing in the world in our lives, and that is the love of God, the reflection of the loving light of Christ that we are called to reflect. And he told us that people would hate us for that. He told his disciples, people won't like that, because if they hate a certain group of people and you stand with them, they're going to hate you too. And they're going to call you before tribunals, and they're going to make up all kinds of things about you. But don't worry. Because you see, we didn't get our marching orders from any political party or any political figure. We've had them for a long time, and they have not changed. They are not a suggestion, they are a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And if you remember, Jesus loved his disciples even though they betrayed him, deserted him, denied knowing him, and even extended that love to those who drove spikes through his wrist and hung him on a cross. Now, he didn't let the people in authority off the hook. Some of his language was pretty tough. Brood of vipers. Ow, that kind of cuts off dialogue, doesn't it? Whitewashed tombs. Twice as much a child of hell as you are yourself. Whoa! But when it came to his own trial, flogging, and lynching, execution, he did not return violence for violence. He did not return hatred for hatred. He took all of that into the tomb with him, and he left it there. So we are freed from that kind of hatred, that kind of ugliness. We are called to be that tiny tendril of a branch and to bear fruit, the fruit of love. We are called to be that reflection of Christ's love in the world. That sweet little song that I sang with the children, This Little Light of Mine, we sing it in Sunday school, we sing it in Vacation Bible School. Did you know that a young woman, 16-year-old Betty Mae Fikes, was arrested for singing that as part of the Freedom Singers in the 1960s? Yeah, that's a dangerous song. To reflect the loving light of Christ is dangerous business because it confronts all the prejudices, all the hatreds, all the exclusion in the world. So, I'm going to invite you to sing it with me. It's not a commandment, it's an invitation. But it just shows that I'm not above intimidation, because if you don't sing, you have to listen to me sing. So, see? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen.